Welcome back, everyone, to The Deep Dive. You know, today we're going to tackle something that I think we all kind of wrestle with. And it's one of those topics that can feel like a real head scratcher, you know, like you're trying to decode some ancient language or something. We're talking about the taxes related to health insurance.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, using your health insurance, okay, that part's usually pretty straightforward. You hit that deductible and things are generally covered. But then you get to the tax side of it all.
Oh, yeah.
And suddenly it's like, wait, what language is this?
Seriously, right. And the cool thing is, you, our amazing listeners, actually sent us some really great material for this deep dive. It's this super informative chapter all about the taxation of health insurance. And your goal, which is now our mission, is to make it all make sense.
Exactly. No more head scratching.
Right. So today we're going to try to break down all the major tax things you should know about your health insurance. Like talking about those premiums you're paying every month, those sometimes annoying out-of-pocket costs that seem to pop up, and all those different HSAs and FSAs and all those other accounts. What are they even?
So many acronyms.
Like alphabet soup.
Right. You've got it. I think what's really interesting about this chapter right off the bat is that it totally gets that disconnect that you just mentioned. It starts by acknowledging the core questions that honestly I think we all have, like, are the premiums I'm shelling out every month even deductible?
Yeah.
What about all those copays and the money I'm spending at the pharmacy?
Uh-huh.
Can I deduct any of that stuff when I'm, you know, just trying to do my taxes? These are like the big foundational questions, and that's exactly what we're going to dig into today.
Love it. And the first big point that our source really hammers home is that how your health insurance gets treated tax-wise really boils down to two things. Who's paying those premiums, right? And what type of plan you've got.
Makes sense.
And the source even has this really handy table to kind of summarize all of that. Gives you a good overview. But let's like zoom in a little bit on some specific situations, starting with all the self-employed folks out there. Whether you're a sole proprietor or part of a partnership, this is where taxes can look really different. And it's a big deal for a lot of people.
Absolutely. And, you know, being self-employed definitely comes with its own set of challenges. But there's also this awesome tax advantage that I think a lot of people don't realize. If you're self-employed, you can actually deduct 100%. Yes, you heard that right. 100% of your health insurance premiums straight from your gross income. And that even includes qualified long-term care insurance.
That's huge.
It is. I think what lawmakers were trying to do here is level the playing field a bit, right? You've got entrepreneurs and freelancers and independent contractors. They're not getting those employer-sponsored health plans. So this deduction can really help offset the cost of that essential expense. It's a great way to support these folks who are so vital to our economy.
Big potential savings there. But, I mean, as we always say, with anything tax-related, there's usually some fine print involved.
Always, right. There are a couple of key conditions here. First, you need to have actually made a profit in your business that year. You can't deduct more in premiums than you earned. That wouldn't make much sense.
Right, of course.
And this is probably even more important. You can't claim this deduction if you were eligible to be on a health plan that was subsidized by another employer, even if you didn't take it.
Oh, interesting.
Maybe you have a part-time job with benefits. Or if your spouse was eligible for a subsidized plan through their employer, that matters too.
So just to be clear, when we say subsidized, we're talking about plans where the employer chips in to help cover the cost, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So let's say your spouse has a great health plan through their job and their employer is contributing. That could impact your ability to take this full 100% deduction, even if you're rocking the self-employed life.
Got it. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, what about partnerships? How do things usually work there with health insurance premiums?
Okay, so partnerships are a little different. When a partnership pays those premiums for, say, an accident and health policy for one of their partners, the partnership itself, they get to deduct those payments. However, that same amount then gets added to the individual partner's gross income.
Okay, I'm following.
But don't worry, it comes full circle. That partner can then deduct that same amount, just like a sole proprietor would. So even though the mechanics are a little different behind the scenes, the final result in terms of what you can deduct is actually pretty similar.
Okay, so it's kind of like a pass-through situation. Partnership takes a deduction, the partner sees it as income, then deducts it on their own return.
Got it. What about when benefits are actually paid out? Let's say you have a big medical bill and your insurance covers a chunk of it. How does that work from a tax perspective?
Well, the good news is that those benefits are considered reimbursement for what you spent, so they don't count as taxable income.
Okay, that's a relief.
So if your insurance company kicks in some cash to help with that medical bill, you're not going to get taxed on that money. Makes sense. Now, I noticed our source material mentioned something called business disability insurance. It lists things like buy-sell, key person, and business overhead expense policies. I'm just curious, should we touch on those too?
You know, those are all super important in the big picture of running a business. But thinking about your focus and what we know our listeners are usually interested in, like personal finances and how all this tax stuff affects everyday people, maybe we can just acknowledge that those policies exist, but keep our deep dive really focused on the health insurance stuff that directly impacts individuals and families, right?
Makes sense to me. Let's stay laser focused on what's most relevant for managing your own money.
Well.
Okay, let's shift gears and talk about something I know people get really excited about, health savings accounts, those HSAs. These seem like a really powerful tool if you qualify.
They are. It's true. An HSA is like the super cool medical savings account that comes with all these tax advantages. And it's designed for people who are enrolled in what's called a high deductible health plan,
Right.
an HDHP. And let me tell you, the tax advantages here are a big deal. You could almost call it a tax trifecta. So first of all, any money you contribute to an HSA, that's tax deductible.
Nice.
Second, the earnings your account makes over time, those grow tax deferred. And then the best part,
Yeah.
any money you take out of that HSA to pay for qualified medical expenses, totally tax free.
Wow. So you get a tax break when you put the money in, it grows without getting taxed,
Yep.
and then you don't pay taxes when you use it for healthcare. That sounds almost too good to be true.
I know, it's pretty great.
How hard is it to actually set one of these HSAs up? Do you need to like jump through hoops with the IRS?
Actually, it's surprisingly straightforward. You don't have to get special permission from the IRS or anything. You can just open an account with a bank, credit union, an insurance company, even an investment firm. They'll basically act as the trustee for your account, kind of like with an IRA or a 401k.
And I know one big thing people always point out about HSAs is that if you don't use all the money in a year, it doesn't just disappear.
You're right. That's a key difference. Unlike those flexible spending accounts, we'll get to those later, with an HSA, your money can roll over and keep growing year after year. So that gives you so much more flexibility and control over those healthcare savings, especially when you're thinking long term.
So if someone is thinking ahead about those long-term healthcare costs, having that rollover feature in an HSA would be a huge plus compared to an FSA, right?
It absolutely could be.
Okay, so what happens if you use money from your HSA for something that isn't a qualified medical expense? Are there penalties for that?
Yes, definitely. If you withdraw money for something that's not considered a qualified medical expense, that amount gets added to your regular taxable income, and there's an extra 20% penalty tax on top of that.
Okay.
But there are some exceptions to that penalty, like if the account holder passes away or becomes disabled, or if they're 65 or older.
Okay.
In those cases, withdrawals for non-medical stuff are treated more like a traditional retirement account. You'll pay income tax, but not that extra 20%.
Got it.
Yeah.
So who can actually open an HSA? What are the main requirements?
There are a few key things. First, you can't have any other comprehensive medical expense coverage. There are a few exceptions, though, like limited benefit plans, things like maybe just dental or vision, or if you have disability income insurance or long-term care insurance.
Okay.
You also can't be claimed as a dependent on someone else's tax return. And probably the most important one,
Yeah.
you have to be in a high deductible health plan, one of those HDHPs.
Right. You've mentioned those a few times now. For anyone who might not be familiar with them, how exactly is a health plan defined as high deductible?
Okay, so basically, a high deductible health plan means you pay lower premiums each month, but then you have to pay more out of pocket. That's your deductible before the insurance company starts covering most of your health care.
Right, that's the trade-off.
Exactly. And the IRS actually sets the minimum amount for what counts as a high deductible and also the maximum for those out of pocket costs, and they can change each year.
Oh, good to know. So if you're thinking about going the HDHP route, keep an eye on those IRS guidelines. All right, so HSAs sound pretty awesome, especially if you meet those requirements. Let's move on to another type of account that came up in our source. Health reimbursement accounts or HRAs. How are these different from HSAs?
All right, so HRAs are another way to help cover those healthcare costs, but they're definitely different from HSAs. First, HRAs are plans that are offered by employers, and a lot of times employers will pair them with health insurance plans that have those higher deductibles.
Okay.
But here's a key difference. To offer an HRA, The employer doesn't have to have an HDHP in place. That's not a requirement.
Oh, so the eligibility is different right from the start.
Yeah.
With an HSA, you have to be the one with the HDHP, but an employer can offer an HRA no matter what kind of health plan they have.
Yep, exactly.
So for an employee who has an HRA, how does it actually work for them?
Well, just like with an HSA, someone with an HRA can get reimbursed for different medical expenses, like deductibles, coinsurance, and copays.
Mm-hmm.
The big difference is where the money comes from. With an HRA, it's all funded by the employer, and those contributions are pre-tax. Employees don't put any of their own money into an HRA directly from their paycheck.
That's a big difference who's putting in the money. So it's all on the employer's side. Are there usually any limits on how employees can use that HRA money?
Employers can definitely set some rules about how that money can be used for reimbursements. For instance, they might limit the types of medical expenses that are eligible. But sometimes HRAs are similar to HSAs in that if there's money left over, it can roll over to the next year.
Oh, okay.
But that rollover part is totally up to the employer, not a guarantee with all HRAs.
Okay, so just to make sure I'm clear, HSAs, individual accounts, triple tax benefits, you need to be in an HDHP, and that money's yours, it sticks with you. HRAs, employer-funded, can go with different types of health plans, and the employer gets to set the rules about how you use the money and whether it rolls over. That helps a lot. Now, the last type of account we're going to talk about is something I think a lot of people have heard of, flexible spending arrangements, or FSAs. These seem to be pretty popular, at least from what I've seen.
You're right. FSAs, or cafeteria plans, as they're sometimes called, are all over the place. But unlike HRAs, where the money comes from the employer, FSAs are funded by the employee through pre-tax salary reductions.
Okay.
So basically, when you're choosing your benefits, you can decide to have a certain amount taken out of your paycheck before taxes, and that goes straight into your FSA.
And because those contributions are pre-tax, any benefits you get from the FSA to cover those eligible expenses, those are non-taxable too, right?
Exactly. It's a way to put money aside for healthcare expenses, things like your copays, deductibles, and prescriptions, or even for dependent care, and it can really lower your taxable income. Plus, it can even cover a working spouse's expenses. And you can make choices during enrollment, so you're not accidentally doubling up on benefits you already get through your spouse's plan.
What about the employers? What's in it for them? It seems like most of the advantages are on the employee side.
Well, employers actually get some benefits, too. Because the employee's salary is reduced, their direct costs are usually limited to just the administrative stuff like setting up the FSA and keeping it running. Plus, because employees are contributing pre-tax, the employer's overall payroll goes down, so they pay less in payroll taxes. So it's kind of a win-win tax-wise for both the employee and the employer.
It's a good incentive for both sides. Now, FSAs have this pretty well-known rule, and it tends to make people a little stressed out as the end of the year gets closer.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about, the use it or lose it rule. This is super important to remember with FSAs. In most cases, whatever money you put into your FSA during the year has to be used for those eligible expenses within that same year.
Okay.
Or sometimes there's a little grace period if your employer offers one, but any money left over at the end of that time, you usually lose it. And that's a big difference from those HSAs and sometimes HRAs.
Yeah.
That rule always felt kind of, I don't know, limiting to me. Are there ways people try to work around that so they don't end up losing money?
That use it or lose it part definitely means you have to plan carefully and have a pretty good idea of how much you're likely to spend on healthcare or dependent care throughout the year before you decide how much to contribute to an FSA.
You've got to be pretty good at estimating.
Okay, so today we covered a lot of ground. We talked about those tax deductions that self-employed people can take for their health insurance premiums, those awesome triple tax benefits you get with HSAs, how HRAs are funded by employers and can be pretty flexible, and then those pre-tax savings with FSAs. But remember, you got to use it or lose it.
Right. It's definitely not simple.
No. The tax side of health insurance can feel pretty overwhelming. But understanding all these details can really make a difference for your finances.
Oh, for sure. When you understand the rules and the different benefits you might be eligible for, you can make much smarter decisions about your health insurance and how it all fits into your taxes. It's not just about picking a plan with the right coverage. It's about making sure you're taking advantage of all the tax benefits that are out there.
So, thinking about everything we've talked about today, those personally owned plans, group plans, HSAs, HRAs, FSAs, I think it brings up a really important question for all of you listening. How can you make sure your health insurance choices line up with your own tax situation so you can really make the most of your money?
It's a great question.
It's something worth thinking about every year when you're making those decisions about your health coverage. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into the world of health insurance taxation.
Thanks for having me. It's been fun.